Hello, this is Rick Becker from iRockRadio.me, and I am joined right now by lead singer of Stone Horses, John Allen. How are you doing today, John?
Great, man. How are you?
Doing all right. Excited to talk to you about especially your new single, Good Old Days, which at this point is really kind of, you were almost looking into the future a little bit when you started writing this one, because it's very apropos to the current time. So why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we were finishing up this song when news of the pandemic was just starting to break and the lockdowns were starting to happen, and I just thought, man, let's think about like the good times that we used to have. Like, we could actually go to parties and hang out with one another and go to concerts and go to festivals, and you know, it was a little bit of an escapism type of lyric that I normally kind of don't write, but also a little autobiographical as well.
And I just watched the newest video. I watched it again. Mm-hmm. And you have mm-hmm. all these great clips of, you know, fans after a show getting their picture taken with you and all mm-hmm. these things that just one day just stopped. So you yeah. really sort of put us in this great mindset of remembering how great the things really were that we had just very recently.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of what's interesting to me about the video. When the editor put it together, we gave him a ton of footage of, like, in the first verse, it's actual home movies from our drummer's family. When he gave me that footage, I was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. So the first verse is really looking back, you know, in that era. The second verse is footage of us in the studio goofing off and clowning and whatever. And then when it gets to the second chorus on, like what you're talking about, it kind of hits on the live shows, the fans, the interaction, the hanging out. And it's really great to include that stuff. And yeah, it kind of gives you nostalgia for not only the family stuff, but just for, you know, getting out there and you know, meeting people and doing the shows.
And coming up, you're trying to do something in your yeah. home state of Maryland. You're going right. to have a big show coming up, one of these socially distant drive-in shows. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we're playing November 12th in Frederick. There's at the Frederick Fairgrounds. We're going to be supporting Blackberry Smoke, great band. While people are sitting in their warm cars, and November 12th in Maryland can be a little chilly. It might be in the 40s up there. And if you've ever played on stage when it's a little chilly, it's luckily I don't have to play guitar. I just have to hold a microphone. But we've done worse. I mean, I've played a show where it was 9 degrees and our poor guitar players. I mean, I don't know how they did it. I remember my guitar player saying, he was like, my fingers felt like they were potatoes. Like I was pressing them down on the neck. Like I couldn't even feel, it was like an outer body experience sort of. So yeah. So we played in like 9 degrees. Before that it was 16 degrees was the coldest I ever played an outdoor show. But so this should be a cakewalk in November. And you know, unless we get some sort of blizzard or something, but yeah, I'm going to be envious of the people in their cars watching the band. Definitely.
So how do you prepare to try to connect with somebody in such a different environment? I mean, even as the lead singer, like you're really out there trying to connect yeah. with all the people in the audience. And now it's this completely different atmosphere. How do you kind of prepare for that? Or do you just wing it?
Yeah. I've been thinking about it a little bit. We just did a couple live streams. So I just sort of, once we started playing, I really got into the zone of performing. And, you know, a lot of the songs we've played played before. So it was kind of like a muscle memory sort of, you know, still doing it. Just like, you know, there's thousands of people in front of me. You know, the strangest thing, I guess, is ending a song and then there being no sort of crazed reaction in the room. And I don't know what's going to happen, you know, with people in their cars, if they're going to be honking their horns or flashing their lights. I'm not sure what the what the protocol is going to be or whatever, but I think I'm just going to go out and do my normal show. I like to talk to the audience. I like to have fun with people and, you know, screw around and, you know, I don't know. It's entertainment to me. So it's a good time. It's a throwback thing, I think, more in that regard, as opposed to what we got into for years of shoegazing or being angry or whatever. It's more about, you know, kind of, you know, it's a party. So hopefully people can still get that vibe sitting in their vehicles. I think they will. You know, there might be a lot of behaviors that you don't see out in a nightclub, or you do. I mean,
That is a good point. I didn't think of it that way. When you're talking about that type of situation, I think people are going to be so excited just to be doing something that right. It's going to feel like the greatest moment of their lives. Like,
that's what I hope. Yeah. I hope that people are going to be just so stoked to see a band. You know, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be off the hook, as the kids say.
I'm Rick Becker talking with Stone Horses lead singer John Allen. You know, speaking of what the kids say, your guitarist Teddy is a pretty young dude. How does that mesh with the chemistry of the band?
He's like a 70-year-old dude in a walking around in a 20-year-old's body. I mean, it's hilarious. He's this old soul, you know, and he like knows all his history with rock music, and it's really really funny, you know, he's a font of useless knowledge, just like myself.
I was just thinking, as you're talking about playing this upcoming show, and I'm just looking here, I have my 2021 day planner sitting next to me, and I know how hard it is to just try to figure out what, you know, just me in my life, what I'm going to be doing in 2021, because you don't know these things. Now, as a band, and you have to put things together so far in advance, how are you guys dealing with trying to figure out what the future holds for you?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not easy. I'm just using the time to write. I'm you know, just completed a new song idea, a new song start, and I've got a bunch of others in the pipeline that I'll keep working on. And, you know, I mean, hell, we might have another EP by next summer if I keep going at this rate. You know, it's or another album, who knows. I'm just trying to keep busy. Our agent is talking to bands that are looking for support and packages and stuff. And, you know, hopefully we can get out there and do some shows with another band that's with our agent, is Joyous Wolf, who I'm a big fan of. I hope, you know, we can do some shows with them and in the future and maybe Rival Sons. We've done some shows with them in the past. We, you know, love those bands, love this whole kind of this new wave of classic rock that's kind of come to the forefront in the last year and a half, like 2 years. So, you know, Greta Van Fleet, we've done some shows with them and you know, just eager to get out and do some stuff, you know, hopefully in a post-vaccine, you know, safe world out there, you know.
And that's another great point, and that leads into my next topic of conversation, because you do have this sound that is incredibly new, but also sort of a throwback. And I noticed some of the groups you listed on your bio as being influences, and I really noticed that MC5 being there, because I think they are an incredible band, an historic band that everybody should really pay a lot more attention to. And I can sort of hear that influence in a lot of your music.
Well, like, to me, what I love about the Detroit sound from the, I guess it was late 60s, early 70s, is the energy, the rawness, you know, between MC5 and the Stooges. You know, you've got this just, you know, when I started fronting, I was playing guitar too, and frankly, my guitar skills were not like, I'm not some, you know, prog rock, you know, virtuoso. It's raw, you know, and it's sometimes kind of basic, but to me, the energy and the garage vibe and, you know, the beginnings of punk rock really, can be, I, to me, are traced back to the Stooges and MC5. And I mean, hell, Alice Cooper, they picked up and they moved from LA to Detroit back then to be part of that scene. It was such a prevalent thing. And, you know, they weren't maybe as raw as some of those bands, but they still kind of had that nastiness, man. You know, like, you still listen to Schools Out and you, yeah, that guitar riff is just badass, you know, just like, you know, Kick Out the Jams, you know, to me, I don't know, just the vibe. You look up some live videos on YouTube of MC5 doing that song and other stuff. It's just, to me, it's the spirit of rock, you know, where it really, you know, it's the heart of rock, is that energy and that, you know, kind of fuck you attitude that rock music, I think, should have always.
And I think with MC5, like when you talk about that punk rock vibe, I think a lot of people are just so quick to start punk rock in 1977. Like, they pretend that nothing led up to it. And that is a band that definitely gets lost in the shuffle a lot. So I was glad to see that you mentioned them in your influences. Now, talking about another influence, and I noticed in a recent interview that you gave somewhere else that you talked about recently reading a biography of the early years of Van Halen. And of course, we just lost Eddie Van Halen, who was any rock musician. He was a huge influence.
Well, the book was called Rising, Van Halen Rising. And it's really cool. I mean, it really starts at the beginning when the brothers were in junior high. And how they started. And I had no idea that Eddie started on drums and Alex started on guitar, and they wound up switching instruments pretty early on. But, you know, so that was one of the things I learned. I learned how David Lee Roth came into the band. And the surprising thing to me was, which nobody would really know, was the fact of the difficulty they had getting signed in those days, because I guess heavy rock was sort of on the wane at that point. You know, disco had become really big. So we're talking about mid 70s, after 75, I guess, 76, something like that, 77. So it was tough for a band like them to get attention, even though they were right there, you know, in LA and the heart of the you know, entertainment industry. So, you know, learned about that, and, you know, just different things. Van Halen, the first record I ever had by them was Van Halen 2, and then, like, Women and Children First. So the songs on those records really, I think it's funny how earliest stuff sometimes can influence you, and you don't even realize. I think some in my songwriting, some of that comes out, you know, from those, listening to those records, you know, and they were just a band with so much energy. I've gone on YouTube and watched, I suggest everybody watch, Van Halen Live Montreal. I think it's from 1983. And, you know, the house lights go down and the search lights follow spots go all around. And the guy announces them on stage, which from the book you'll learn was one of the road crew guys that they made him do that. He was kind of a reluctant MC, and he announces the band, you know, Dark Stage, and then the spotlight hits Eddie and he starts playing the riff for Unchained, and right when the song kicks in, the whole band comes in, the lights go up, and you see David jump off the drum riser doing his toe touch or whatever, and the crowd just goes, yeah, you know. And every time I watch it, man, I just get this chill down the back of my spine. It was just such an era, so incredible. And the energy of that band between David and Eddie running around the stage, you know, and I mean, hell, I think Eddie had to have a hip replaced because he was jumping around and just, you know, like, I don't think you'd seen anything like that up to that point. You know, they were just such an incredible, not just a virtuoso, but an incredible live band, an entertaining live band. You know, it wasn't about always being note perfect. It was about a vibe and just, you know, having fun and partying and it comes across, you know.
So now that we know what somebody could have expected from Van Halen in a concert, mm-hmm. maybe in the late 70s, early 80s, what can somebody expect the next time we finally get to have real concerts in real venues? What can they expect from a Stone Horses show if they haven't seen you yet?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's I don't know if I'm going to be jumping off the drum riser that's 8 feet in the air doing a toe touch or anything like that. but there's a lot of energy there and it's a lot of fun. Yeah, I don't take myself too seriously up there. You know, we try to have a good time. We try to have a good time with the audience, you know. Most of the time, you know, people are up for it and that's great. I mean, I know it's not a comedy show or anything, but it's okay to laugh, you know. You don't have to be like, you know, like all the time. Yeah, it's a good time. You know, we've had some really great shows, you know, playing with Rival Sons and Greta Van Fleet and just, I think we've, you know, their audiences have been really, really receptive and really warm to us, you know, so much so that, you know, I've stayed at the merch table signing stuff, you know, for over an hour, you know, waiting till the line would, you know, work to the end. So that's the great thing about doing this. Hopefully we can do that again.
It's unfortunate because so much of the way that you guys make a band and turn a band into a business is getting out on the road. And right now that's obviously difficult. But I think that the bands who are going to survive not only this, but survive the changes in the business in the first place are the ones who can make the live show something that is important for the fans. It's not just about the records anymore. You have to get people to keep coming back to your shows.
Yeah, you know, certainly. Yeah, and even if that live show means doing something different for live streams, I think you're starting to see that now with bands are trying to think outside of the box of just doing, you know, a typical kind of straight on live show. So yeah, you know, I don't want to have to think about it too much. I want to get out there and play, but at the same time, you know, you have to, like I said, you know, come up with new ways to engage the audience. You know, if that's what we have to do, if we have to do live streams and we can't get out in front of people. But yeah, I mean, I've always felt like the live thing was important. The energy when you go to a live show, just, I remember going to arenas and I'd just be so pumped up before, you know, just getting to the arena and you could feel the energy, the same thing from other people there. Like they were just so fired up to see their favorite bands and you know, you can't replicate that, in a live stream situation, unfortunately. And, you know, so hopefully we can get back to it soon.
And being from Baltimore, at least the majority of the band being from Baltimore, what do you feel about the scene there? And who are some bands that maybe were making some headways that you really liked who were part of the scene?
I don't know. I mean, like, I'm real, really happy for the All Time Low guys. Like, they, I heard their single on the radio a couple months ago, and they speaking of outside the box, they have a guest kid on there named Black Bear, this young rapper guy. And as soon as I heard that song, I was like, man, I'm like, they got one. They got a hit. And I'm so happy for them. It's great. That band, they've been around a little bit, and they got their start opening for when I was playing drums for SR71. They opened for us at the Record Theater up in Towson, where those guys are from. And to see them have, you know, a huge radio success. I mean, they've already had massive touring success. They can go out and play anywhere and sell places out like crazy. But now it's like they've got something that radio is embracing as well. I mean, they're on their way. They're going to be huge. You know, like I said, they're already, you know, pretty big, but I'm really happy for them because, man, sometimes, you know, you're grinding it out, you know, and it's like, man, you know, it's, you know, when's it going to be my time, man? And I think it's their time, and it's really great to see. It makes me really happy and really proud to have a band from the area to break out like that.
I live in Florida now, but I mm-hmm. come from the central Pennsylvania area. So just hearing you talk about the wrecker, and I'm like, oh, I remember hopping down 83 and yeah. into Towson and checking out shows at the wrecker. That is a great club.
And it was set to reopen as a concert venue, and then COVID hit. So I don't know what's going to happen now. They were talking about it back in the spring. So hopefully, they can get it open again.
Yeah, it was a great place to see a show. There are a lot of great places to see shows down in the Baltimore, D.C. area. So I'm sure you guys get to take advantage of that. And you can't talk about Baltimore right now without talking about your Ravens. I know you're huge fans. Just anybody who checks out your Facebook page knows that. And it looks like they got a pretty stacked team this year. So how exciting is that, even if you don't get to the games because of everything that's going on? But just having a team that really looks like they might be competing for a title here.
It's exciting. I mean, you know, Lamar's a pretty exciting quarterback. The expectations are so high that I don't know. You know, I don't know if you can live up to the expectations when they're so high, because they set so many records last year with scoring and with running the ball. They figure you out like we had a couple teams that kind of figured out how to stifle them, and so now all the other teams have checked out that tape, and I'm sure that they've figured out ways to kind of combat, you know, the running attack. So we'll see. It should be an interesting season. You know, definitely cautiously optimistic, I should say.
I'm Rick Becker from iRockRadio.me, and I want to thank John Allen from Stone Horses for joining us. If you're in the area, you can catch them at a drive-through show in Frederick, Maryland on November 12th. You can always contact me by email, irockrickbecker@gmail.com. And of course, always tune in to irockradio.me.